Well, good morning once again. I am sad to be in the presence of the Lord. Today, I just want to talk to you because we've been talking about TV and what and watching it so much recently. I just want to take a moment and take it back to a day. You see, I grew up watching in the development of TV, as many of us did. And in my few short years of life, I remember back as a little boy. As a little boy, I remember watching things, such things as Leave It to Beaver. You know, I really got to tell you, I still watch some of the reruns. But if you remember this show, it featured a stay-at-home mother and a wise and caring father. Then there were those two sons who were so respectful and obedient. You know, then a few years later came another family sitcom that most of us watched. It was named the Brady Bunch. It was a blended family, which was somewhat hectic, but again, mom stayed at home taking care of the six kids while, well, wait a minute. There's always been something that bothered me about that show. If mom stayed at home, what did they need with Alice? You know what? That's just a rhetorical question. But children were loved by their parents. And who just took and reminded me that they loved each other. Together, the parents provided a firm direction to the children under their care. Note I said together. The problem is that somewhere along the way, we started seeing our families change. The drama of the soap opera started slithering their way into primetime shows. Divorce was just, or should I say just living together. You know what, back in the day we called it a shack. It became the norm. The children on the primetime shows like the Bundys started talking back to their dim-witted parents. And as seen on TV, soon began to influence the behavior in our homes. Well, most homes. Not in my home. My children were taught how to respect and the consequences of forgetting that. You see, God was in control. You see, some of us grew up in a godly home. Homes that read and lived by what was written in Deuteronomy 6. 4-9, and it reads this. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them." Did you hear that? "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." Verse 9 says, "You shall write them on the doorposts of your gates." Hallelujah. Now you see, if I took you back and took you into my mother's home, she lived by this very scripture taken from Proverbs 13 and 24. It reads, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him properly." I'm just saying. You know, even for those of us that live by Proverbs 24, we still had a deep problem. You know, I didn't know that I lived in a dysfunctional home until I was grown and had children of my own and found out my home was still dysfunctional. But you know what? I am so glad that the Lord can heal our homes, that He can heal our lives and our hearts. One of the greatest men in the Old Testament also had a dysfunctional family. His name was Joseph. Jealousy and anger. But you see, God had a plan for Joseph. Our title today is simply, Dysfunctional Families Can Change. Our scripture is taken from the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, and our focal verse is being taken from verse 4. And verse 4 reads this, it says, But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than them, all his brothers, then they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Dysfunction, jealousy, and I have to start with this statement. The choices, listen closely, the choices we make will affect our families. Family life is a precious gift from God, and sometimes we can forget that. We all do things that can have an effect on our children. Well, you know, even for those that lived Help me, Lord. You see, the choices we make, the ones we make, alcohol, drugs, infidelity, anger, distrust, envy, all these things can take a toll on us and our future. You see, let me tell you what the definition of dysfunction is. And I took this and found this in sociologicaldictionary.org. And they said dysfunction means this. It says any action or behavior that has a negative consequence for a group or society, an effect of structure that fosters social inability. Now, if you don't mind, walk a look at Joseph's. First thing we're going to do is look at his parents. Now, I have to tell you that he had two wives, and he had two others. I'm just going to leave it at that. He had two others. And combined, he had 13 children. You see, he had marital difficulties. In verse 2 of chapter 37, we find that Jacob had two wives, and you know what? They didn't get along too well. There was a constant battle going on for Jacob's affection. To make things even worse, they offered up their female servants for him to have children with. That is a made-for-TV Jerry Springer show. This family had issues. You see, I want to also tell you that not only did they have marital difficulties, but there was a whole lot of favoritism going on. If we look in verse 3, we find that Jacob clearly showed favor towards Joseph. And his siblings noticed it and took close note of it. This angered them so much that it's written in verse 3, and I'll read it for you. It says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, it says, Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. You know, I'm sure this did not, I'm just so sure this was the next thing on a long list of things that Jacob had done for Joseph to show how special he was to him. And it tells me that the brothers hated Joseph even more. Their hatred grew stronger and stronger. If we take and look at verse 4, it tells us they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Can you say dysfunctional? You see, if we take a look at the brothers, they had some issues themselves. They had unresolved anger issues. These young men had a lot of unresolved issues. Just one of them being the way that their father treated them differently than Joseph. It is said that Jacob loved Joseph more than anything. And because they never addressed their feelings with their father, they allowed it to fester. Now I'm not talking about anybody here on the line. I know that we all lived good lives. We had great parents. We had everything we needed growing up. But you see, even with all of that, it's still possible that some of us have an anger in our family relationships. Unresolved childhood anger can affect you even in our senior years. Issues that cloud our judgment today are a result of unresolved issues of yesteryears. 30, maybe even 45 years ago, we still haven't dealt with the pain. Can you say dysfunctional? Hallelujah. God is in the mix. You see, the other problem that the brothers had was they had jealousy issues. If we continue reading through verse 5 through verse 8, we continue to see these brothers had a whole lot of issues that needed to be dealt with. Jealousy was just another one of them. As we read in verse 5, God's work in Joseph's life was only intensified. It only intensified. It re-intensified. It just took hold of his brothers. The jealousy that grew within the brother's heart just continued. That hatred just kept on until that's all they could think of. If you read verse 8, even it gets to the whole, and yet such a powerful word they used, they said hate. They hated their brother. You know, unresolved jealousy can quickly turn to unresolved hatred in our lives. Wow. Let's read the verse so that you know that I'm not making this stuff up. Genesis 37, verses 5 through 8. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. And then, behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed before my sheaf. And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Hallelujah. They hated him. If they only knew what God had planned for their baby brother's life, would they still have hated him? As we continue to walk through the text in verses 17 through, we find that unresolved conflict, listen closely, unresolved conflict will damage our relationships. Here, we find that the story takes a very unpleasant turn. The anger and jealousy continued to brew until it boiled over, until the brothers reached a point of no return. You see, they had plotted to kill Joseph. But fortunately, Reuben, the oldest, heard of the plot, and he interceded on Joseph's behalf. Well, he interceded on the plot to kill him anyway. Instead, the brothers sold Joseph into slavery. But remember, plan Joseph, just like he has a plan for each of you. You may be asking, what other choices did the brothers have? What could they have done differently? Well, I want to tell you, they could have chosen to love differently. One of the most important choices a family can make is to love. You see, the Bible tells children to honor their mother and their father, that their days may be long upon the land. Let's read from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, if you don't believe me. It seems to me that some of our young people today seem to think that they can treat their parents any way they want. I've seen too many teens, and let me clarify that, too many preteens talk to their parents in a way, well, let me put it this way. I talked to my mother that way. I had a saying that, boy, I will knock you into next week. Can you say ouch? Because I still feel it now. Hallelujah. Matthew 22 verses 37 through 39 says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great command. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Listen. I just want to stop for a moment because I want you to get this if you're taking notes. Loving one another is not a choice. It is a command. But I want you to know that God never forces us to do anything. And because of that, we choose to love or we choose not to love. Just so you know, you can love others. Listen. You can love others regardless of whether they love you back. Listen, I have heard stories from people who have gone through some very difficult times together, which would have caused a lot of couples to go their own separate ways, but they chose. Listen to me closely. They chose. Did you hear what I said? They chose to love over everything else. Mother-in-law's favorite passage in Scripture talks about love. 1 Corinthians 13, and I just want to read a couple verses from it about what it says about love. You see, verse 4 says, "Love suffers long and is kind." You hear that? Love suffers long and is kind. If we look at verse 8, it says love never fails. If we jump down to verse 13, it says, now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Can I get an amen from somebody? You see, secondly, the brothers could have chosen to forgive. Just as love is a choice, forgiveness is also a choice. You can choose to hold on to the wrongs done to you, let them build, them fester, or you can choose to let go and forgive. When you choose to forgive, you free yourself from the bondage of bitterness and hatred. Forgiveness is not saying that you like the fact that you were wronged. Forgiveness is saying that you choose not to live under the bondage of unforgiveness, but that you choose things with forgiving those who have wronged you. Remember that you cannot control how others behave, but you can control how you react. The reality is this. I can't say it enough. The reality is that God can bring out of our bad situations. I'm going to just let that sink in a minute. You see, we find that Joseph's experienced dysfunctional parents and brothers to the point of betrayal. It was a horrible story of life gone to the extreme, but God used it to the good. He told, I'm told that it's in the process that we are made stronger through it all. God would use Joseph's situation in Egypt to provide deliverance to his family. You see, we need to jump all the way to Genesis 45. You see, if we get to Genesis 45, we start reading about how Joseph embraced his brothers. Even though they had plotted to kill him, even though they sold him off into slavery, even though he had spent a few years in jail, he never gave up his belief in God. You see, if we read verse 8, it says this, as Joseph speaks to his brothers, he says, so now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and Lord of all his houses, and a ruler throughout all the land. You see, what others meant for evil, God turned around and made it good. Hallelujah. Listen, many of us have been on the receiving end of hurt, betrayal, unresolved conflict, much of it in our own families. But let's face it, we cannot change our past, we cannot undo the wrong, but we can allow God to bring the good out of the bad. We can choose to allow God to experiences to help others through their situations. Others will find that they'll find comfort that they are not the only ones to go through things. Some of us need to choose to forgive. Forgiveness can come by grace and the power of the Lord. Knowing that Christ forgives you, you can live in forgiveness. And with that choice will come renewed freedom from the dysfunction of your past and an opportunity to grow to become the person God wants you to be. And y'all know what? I'm done. We just praise your name. We glorify you. We honor you today, Lord God. We thank you for the word reminding us, Lord God, that no matter what our past may be, our future is with you. Father, we honor you. We praise you. We glorify. We just continue to have your way in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.